we're going to preach. So let me. I want to read my first verse. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1. And I think I actually may have read this text a few weeks or months ago. But I'm just going to read one verse. Oh, and I want to say really quick thank you to Brother Fred, Brother Charles, Brother Kevin, and Brother Kenny, who made the 3.5-day journey down to Florida and back and loaded up these trucks with this furniture that was donated. It was a long journey, I'm sure, and I'm sure everything didn't go perfectly smoothly, but we appreciate you going down. Ecclesiastes 4:1, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. So the Bible says they had no comforter, and their oppressors had power, but they had no comforter. So I want to preach to you on the topic, whoever's praying, please come, on the topic of the new birth. And they're going to pray for us, and we're going to dive into it.
Lord, we pray over this service, God, that you would just use Pastor to preach the word. Lord, we've already felt you in this place, God, and we pray, Lord, that you continue to just move through this place, Lord. Move through the word, God, and open us up, God. And I pray, Lord, that we've come in here with an open mind and an open spirit, God, to take your word in and to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Also, turn with me very quickly. We're going to fast forward 358 years to the book of Lamentations. And we're going to read one verse, chapter 1, verse 9. Lamentations 1 and 9. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembered not her last end. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. There are a few things that kind of rose to the forefront to me when I read these two texts. And both of them, I think, play a very significant role in where God was taking the church at this time. And that was, they had no comforter. And the Bible says that the first text, their enemies had power, which means they did not. We're going to ditch this microphone because it isn't working. Thank you. And this one says they had no comforter. Can I have my jacket back, please? A little chilly for me. Y'all freezing me up. Enemy, thank you, hath magnified himself. Both states, the Israelites are in a very vulnerable place. So vulnerable that the scripture tells us they had nobody to comfort them. They had no power, but the scripture clearly informs us that their enemies had plenty of power, plenty of authority. Magnified themselves. Just so you're clear, the word comforter, literally in the scripture, means intercessor, consoler, or advocate. Now, I remind you very quickly in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the advocate. So, we fast forward to the book of John, chapter 14. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't like to share nincompoops opinions, but I'll share this one. I've had some people tell me a few years ago, several years back, and if you're one of those people that believe this, you can repent for being a nincompoop. I'm just going to tell you that much right now. The only sin you can't be forgiven of is blasphemy. So we'll give you an opportunity to repent of your thinking. There are those that tell us that somewhere around the book, in the Gospel of John, chapters, I don't know, I'm going to say from maybe 12 or 13 on up, they insinuate that it was not in the original text and the original scrolls or what have you, and it was only inserted many years later. Well, the problem is, that's what happens when you're a nincompoop and you try to write theology. I told you I'm not going to play this one. I don't like people that try and twist the scripture. That offends me and it irritates me to no end. If it's in this book, it's mine. It's the gospel. It's settled. The word of God is yea and amen. There is no debate. There is no buts. There is no but I think. Nobody cares what we think. I only care what God thinks. And I'm only concerned about what they wrote in the scripture. Now, for you and I, that means then we have to come to a level of understanding in many cases. And so anyway, what's somewhat correct in that is the Gospel of John was the last book in the Bible that was literally written. It was the final book that was written. And so, yes, many of those texts would have been inserted later on, as this, the Bible was literally put together from generation to generation as it was written. So that does not negate anything. But the reason I say that is because you're going to find a lot of things in the Gospel of John that you don't really see in the other three Gospels. And it is said that's because John felt the important need to clarify many of the other original apostles, if not all, had already been martyred at that time, and so he felt the need to make sure there was clarity that was left with the church, and that's why the Gospel of John gives us a little more in-depthness than the other three Gospels do concerning some things. And so in chapter 14, in verse 15, and we're going to read five verses, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now, I want to politely inform you that just because Jesus speaks in the third person does not mean he's speaking of another. Many times, something to the tune of 52 or 54 times in the New Testament, Jesus spoke in the third person form. And he says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Last I checked, Jesus was the one that was in us, correct? Making sure we're all on the same page. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." So I wanted to read the first two texts to you to help you understand that up until Jesus showed up, the world really did not have an advocate. The world had prophets, had judges, had kings, had rulers, had great men of God, had a Moses, had an Abraham, had an Aaron, had a Joshua, but they really never had a comforter. They never had an advocate. They never had an intercessor. They never had a consoler. And with Christ comes the impending arrival of what Jesus here is speaking of, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And for you doubters, I'm going to show you where the scripture says the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. I want to make sure we all stick on the same page. So let me put it to you this way that might help you this morning. When I say the word Comforter, you think Jesus Christ. When I say Jesus Christ, you think Comforter. When I say Holy Spirit, you think Jesus. When I say Holy Ghost, you think Jesus. They're all the same. They're not different. They are one. When Jesus spoke, he said the Father will send the Comforter. In another text, he says he will send the Comforter in my name, but yet he abides in you, but yet Jesus abides in you, yet the Comforter is an advocate, yet Jesus is the advocate, the intercessor. It's just a matter of the perspective of the writer in many cases. And so I just want to be clear. Now, when you jump down with me to verse 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So whenever you are going about your day and all of a sudden you feel something come up inside of you and it says, no, remember I told you not to do that? That's not your intellect or your wisdom. That's the Holy Ghost in you. Or when you're warned not to do this or not to say that, you ever see somebody's funny little meme on Facebook? It says, I was getting ready to hit send and the Holy Ghost told me to delete it. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He told me to delete a lot of things a lot of times, and sometimes I think I didn't hear it. So now, jump with me to the book of Acts chapter 1. Before we get in there, I want to give you a history lesson really quick. The Bible is broken up into, we'll call them categories for lack of better words, but for clarity and understanding. And when you read, you must understand how the scripture is laid out. You must understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the Gospels. They entail the life and the death of Jesus Christ. It is their primary purpose. The book of Acts, any commentator, believe it or not, will agree with me that it is the actions, it stands for the actions of the church or the actions of the apostles. Most commentators call the book of Acts the literal founding of the New Testament church. So when you read the book of Acts, you must read it with the understanding that it is laying out what the New Testament church looks like. There is a difference between Acts or Romans or any of those other scriptures that we will utilize, and that is those are epistles. They are written to the church, not to the sinner. They are written to those that should already have a basic understanding or a common knowledge of the Word of God. The book of Acts is the single book in the New Testament that teaches us the founding of the New Testament church following the ascension of Christ. That's why it begins here in chapter 1 with Jesus leaving final instructions to the apostles. And he tells them to go and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, John, truly baptized with water. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to warn you this morning. If you double down on me, I'm going to triple down. I just got news for you. So all you got to do is open up your heart and open up your mind. That's all you got to do. And so he said, go wait for the promise of the Father. And says, you've heard of me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then verse 8, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Two things happened on Pentecost. Number one, God finally sent a comforter to his people so they would have an advocate, so they would have an intercessor, so they would have somebody that could console them. And the other thing that would happen was he gave the church power. He gave the church an authority so they wouldn't have to be punching bags anymore. And they, through the word of God and through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, would be able to fight a little bit rather than just be a victim always. He said, you shall receive power. Now, I'm going to give you some myths. Well, let's talk about the myths first. Bradley, this is your cue to put it on the screen. Number one myth, speaking in tongues was only used to spread the gospel. Absolutely a complete and total and utter falsehood. Now, you say, how can you say that the way I just did? I'll repeat it for you if you'd like me to. Now, let me explain to you so you are clear in what I am saying. Number one, the Bible says, watch this. When they were in the upper room in chapter 2, they were all with one accord in one place. You want to have revival? Stop being stubborn. Get on the same page as the rest of the church. Let me say it again. You want to have revival? You really want to see the lost saved? Nobody cares about your own personal agendas. Let's all get on the same page with a common mind and a common knowledge, and then let's God do what God does. And they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How many were filled with the Holy Ghost, Brother Jerome? All. That means there was nobody up there to be preached to in tongues. There were not a bunch of Pentecostals in church sitting there like spectators. Wow. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Go ahead. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when you read on, and I'll let you do your homework, you're going to find that this revival, this outpouring, went from the upper room where they were all at, and then spilled out into the streets. And then people begin to gather, and they begin to wonder, and they begin to think, what's going on? Well, this is crazy. These people are nuts, man. What's going on here? I don't go to that church. They're a bunch of kooky people. They're laying around, rolling around the floor and everything else. And to the extent that people thought they were drunk, and Peter literally had to get up and say, they're not drunk like you think they are. And then what did Peter say? Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? He said, go with me in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Now, I already told you, tongues was not to just spread the gospel or to evangelize it quickly, but it was. It takes me to the number two. Put it up there for me, Brad. Myth number two, there must be an... No, that's not myth number two. You got them backwards, or did I get them backwards? Go to number three for me. I think I switched them around on myself. It was only for the disciples. That's the next thing. It was only for them in that day. I'll tell you what. I literally don't know where all these nincompoops have come up with all these silly theories, but it just has just rubbed me raw over the years. Now, I'm going to explain it to you. It was only for the disciples. Now, I didn't speak in tongues isn't what I said. I just said it was only for the disciples. The Holy Ghost was only for the disciples. That is a myth. Watch this. Because Peter gets up and he says, first of all, they're not drunk like you think they are. Second of all, this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. Now, if it's only for the disciples, let's see what Joel prophesied. He said, in the last days, say the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Upon their handmaidens and men servants will I pour out my Spirit. So Peter said, this is what Joel prophesied. God is getting ready to pour it out on all flesh. It isn't just for the disciples. It wasn't just for that day. It wasn't only to evangelize the gospel. Peter preached in his native tongue to the crowd. They didn't need people up there speaking in tongues so they would understand it. Now, I'm kind of getting a little off base here. And then the third one, there must be an interpreter. Myth number three, there must be an interpreter. Yes, that is a myth. Now let me explain to you the myth. Number one, sometimes you got to use logic and reason rather than what's been pumped into your head for years. And you got to just look at the scripture. That's very simply. Upper room, 120 people. Who interpreted? There was no interpreter because there was no message for the church. When I don't have time today. If some of y'all want to do something more than get on social media, I'll be happy to come and have a Bible study with you. But I'm going to tell you what happened. That's why we have 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because Paul is clearly laying out the distinction between the prophecy of tongues and the gift of tongues, which comes with the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost. He's trying to help them understand this. Now let me just throw it at you real quick, just a couple verses, and I'm not going through any more. When a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But when a man prophesieth, he prophesieth unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. When a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. When a man prophesies, he edifies the church. That prophesy that he's speaking about is the gift of the Spirit, the gift of tongues. That's the whole point of chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians. Now, I'm telling you, I have put everything into that book to try and understand it very clearly. It doesn't take a brain surgeon, folks. If he said when a man is speaking in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself, that should tell me that it doesn't always require an interpretation. Now, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about verses 28 or 27 and 28. And I didn't want to get into all this. I didn't want to do it, but you're making me do it. So let me just give you those two verses really quick again for your edification, and then we'll get to our point here. First of all, 26. Let's start there. You got to start in 26. You got to read 26. How is it, brethren, when you all come together? I got a song to sing for the Lord, Pastor. I got something God gave me. I got a tongue. Everyone, I got a revelation. You got to hear what God, we all come to church. Everybody wants to tell what God told them. That's how messed up the Corinthian church was. Everyone hath an interpretation. He said, let all things be done unto edifying. He said, when y'all come up here, I was standing here preaching one day. Now, you don't ever want to make this mistake because you'll make a fool out of yourself. You're just being and this person goes, I'm preaching. I'm intentionally looking over her head. Finally, can I help you? Yeah, I got something I got to say. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you had something that was from the Lord, God would have told me to have you say it. Right now, it's not going to be edifying. Maybe you'll be edifying yourself. Sometimes we make the mistake if God shows us something and it wows us, and we think that it's for everybody else, but it's for you. So, he said, how come when y'all come together, everybody's got a doctrine, everyone has a psalm, a tongue, a revelation, interpretation. He said, let everything be done to edify. And then he says, when a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, the most by three, by course, let one interpret. See? No, it's not see nothing. It's not see nothing. You got to slow down there, Sally. Let me help you understand some things this morning. Number one, let me translate that for you in words that are a little better understood. When you're all here together, and when Jerome's up here and he's speaking in tongues, if there are two or three people around, he says, if it is a message to the church, let somebody interpret it. Because if you study 1 Corinthians, as I have, you're going to find that Jerome's speaking in tongues, and we're just standing there. We're all looking around like a bunch of dummies. We're waiting. All right, somebody going to interpret this now. All right, my brothers, come on now. Somebody going to interpret. And no one's interpreting. That's what Paul's doing. That's why the whole book, that whole chapter is written. He said, listen, if nobody interprets it, go to the next verse. If there be no interpreter, that doesn't mean if Patrick from the schools of tongues and interpretation missed church today because he was sick. Some of the olds, that ain't about you, don't worry. Some of them all know why. If Patrick from the school of tongues and interpretation didn't make it to church today, that doesn't mean that they're supposed to stop. No, that means if nobody interprets, it's not a message, it's not the prophecy of tongues. He said, let him keep silent in the church. He didn't say stop. And let him speak to himself and to God. Now then you must defer back to chapter 14 and you can go to verse 3. When a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. This is very easy when we get the cloud of confusion out of the way. Now, I did not want to go into none of that. I didn't want to go into it. So let me recap on the myths, if I may. Number one. Tongues only spread the gospel quickly. Not true. They were in the upper room, only those 120. They weren't speaking in tongues and babbling to each other. Number two, Peter preached in his native tongue in verse 14 to the crowd that had gathered. Next myth, it was only for the disciples. Not true. He said, this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in the last days. Next one, verse 38 and 39. I did not read that to you in the book of Acts. Throw it up for us there, if you would, please, Bradley. Acts, verse chapter 2, 38, 39. You get to talking about this stuff, and boy, people don't like it, man. You know why? Because that what makes you uncomfortable. We don't like to talk about it. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the mission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as the many as the Lord our God shall call. All. It's for everybody. What Jesus did in the book of Acts in chapter 2, the reason we celebrate Pentecost is for every person. Why is it for every person? Because there was a time in the world where the people of God had no comforter. They had no power. And God said, I'm not going to leave my church comfortless. I'm not going to leave my church powerless. And so Joel prophesied there will come a time where God will begin to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Now, I know enough to know that, you know, if you had always learned something different and you say, well, blah, blah, it doesn't clear up in our heads right away. Sometimes we just can't get it cleared up. But if you take those verses I showed you, you'll just see that what a lot of the common teaching doesn't add up. It's all done in ignorance. And here's the worst part about this. All right, I'm just going to meddle because I just feel like meddling. Because it's quiet. I had a preacher once. He was a pastor of a Baptist church. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he told me that he prayed in tongues. He spoke in tongues. And this isn't about tongues, but this is what he told me anyway. And so in the middle of a meeting with some others, he began to try and, I called it an attack. He attacked me and my some of my beliefs and what have you. And I don't remember what it's, but he just, I believe in the triggering thing. I used to not believe in it. Boy, I was triggered. And so finally I said to him, I looked at him right in the face and I said you speak in tongues, right? Yeah. So it's good enough for you, just not everybody else in the church? We ain't going to go teach it to everybody else because you're special, right? You want this special gift, but nobody else needs to have it, so let's just talk down about it now. That's what I told him. I ain't got time for idiots. I ain't got time for games. I don't. You say, you calling that preacher an idiot? I absolutely am. I know I shouldn't do that from the pulpit, but I am. You don't know who he is, so he's an anonymous idiot. When you come against the Word of God and against people, and when you intentionally try to disrail things rather than allow God to teach us and to show us and to give us understanding, rather than embrace clarity in what is very clear in the Scripture, you've got problems. That's a fact. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something this morning. The Bible says in the end, for all y'all think that you're internally sealed, it says if any man take away from this book or add to this book, I will take away his name out of the book of life. I didn't write it. It's in your Bible too. He said, you take words out of this book or you omit them and I will take your name out of the book. That's what the Bible says. Hold on. I guess I got to read it for you. Now, I told you I feel like fighting today. Now, I don't want to fight. Just don't get me wrong here. My wife's going to have to undo all this stuff later. She's going to have to really, really go on some damage control. Chapter 22, verse 19, the book of Revelation. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Now I really feel like fighting. Because I get tired of people telling me you can just live like a dingbat, do whatever you want to do, however you want to do, and you're good forever. No, you are not. You absolutely are not. Listen to me. Did I just read it or not? Anybody want to tell me I didn't read it? It's there. He said, why? Because God gets offended when we try to alter his words. God does not like his eternal words being messed with. And I don't have the nerve to mess with the word of God. Now, I'm going to get back on track in a minute. But you take this and you take it to the bank because this book is the most important thing the world has ever received. And God, listen to me. God is working through the ministry to try and Christians to try and preserve that which he left us. It has been under attack for a long time. It's been under assault for a long time. It's been twisted. It's been changed. It's been perverted. It's been uprooted. People are telling us it doesn't matter. They're saying Old Testament doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. Half the book of John don't matter. They're telling us everything under the sun. But I'm here to tell you today, the Word of God is as true today as it has ever been. It does not change. It cannot be changed. And if you're going to change it, you ain't going to have a place here because we do not alter the book of God. It is the holy, divinely inspired word of God. There are men that died to put these words into our hands. There are people that put their lives in peril's way to put these words into our hands. And they dare not mess with the things that God inspired them to write. The Bible was written by men. So is your blog, you nincompoop. What do you think blogging is? What do you think a newspaper is? What do you think a magazine is? What do you think the internet is? By all means, who do you think the media are? It's all written by men. But the difference with the word of... Someone look up nincompoop for me real quick so y'all don't think I'm being mean. But the scripture has been foreordained from God for his church. And this morning, I know I've gotten a little off track because you're making me... But there was a time when God's church had no comforter and they had no power. And God now has changed all of that. But there still is an element that wants to fight it and wants the church to be handicapped and wants the church to walk around like a bunch of mindless zombies bound by addictions and bound by this and bound by that and bound by pornography and bound by perversion. There's people in this world that want the church to remain that way because the devil doesn't want the church to have a fight in them, especially in this hour that we live in. But we've got to have a fight in us. There's got to be something inside of us that is inspired by the Holy Ghost that burns inside of me that says, you're not going to take my family. You're not going to take my message. You're not going to take my church. You're not going to take anything away from me. We're going to live and thrive in what God has promised us. A silly, foolish, or stupid person. So we'll go with silly. So it doesn't sound so harsh. Watch this. Why is this always so hard to preach? Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. Here, I'm going to lighten it up for some of y'all. Some of y'all are having a hard time with me. Matthew 15 and 18. Can I say it this way? Let me say it this way. This might help you understand me, and I'm being honest. As a man that stands behind this pulpit, I don't have anything within me that will allow me to preach anything that goes against my convictions. Now, there are some things I certainly would agree with you on. There are some things that, you know, we can say, well, we'll agree to disagree. But this ain't one of them. I just don't want to stand before God and be guilty. Now, listen, if you're like the nincompoop who I told you about in AutoZone, who just completely destroyed an opportunity to witness because of his stubbornness, if you decide, now I'm being honest when I say this, if you decide that you want to step in the role of the preacher, because the preacher's going to be accountable to God on a different level. So if you decide you want to step in that role, and you wanna poo-poo what he preaches, that's okay. But the people you talk to, their blood is now on your hands. And you will be judged by God for them. Because you're stepping into a role that you weren't ordained or anointed to step into. Fivefold ministry, Ephesians 4 and 11. Go read it. So watch this. Boy, I got tough in here. Matthew 15 and 18. I'm not trying to be combative. I'm really not. This is unchangeable to me. But those things, watch this. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Okay? Now this is important that we catch this. And they defile that man. So what comes out of the man, the Bible says, defiles him. Watch. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemy. They all begin in the heart. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, thank God the kids aren't in here right now. They'd be like, the Bible says I don't have to wash my hands before I eat. It doesn't hurt me one bit. Now, there's a reason I read this text. It's very, very important to this message today. So the scripture says, what comes out can defile me. So would that not stand to reason that God would want to change what comes out of me? Okay. Let's read the next verse. It might be a little more clear to you. Back to the book of John, chapter 4, verse 11. John 4 and 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Because he said, if you had asked me, I'd have given you living water. See, she didn't understand what he meant. It's not always, it should not be a shocker to you, but we're so stubborn sometimes that it's a wound upon our ego to not know. You follow me? It's okay sometimes to say, wow, I never saw that. There's nothing wrong with that. My goodness, as we grow in God, he opens up our mind and our understanding. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. That's what growing in God is. So she didn't see it, just like Nicodemus didn't understand what he meant by being born again. Am I supposed to crawl back in my mother's womb? Well, that's gross. And she said, thou hast nothing to draw with, from whence hast this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now I want you to remember this verse, and then we're going to go to one last verse, John chapter 7, verse 37. Don't put John 7 on the screen. Leave 4 right there. Leave that right there, Brad. I need that for a reference. So if you don't have a Bible, just follow me and I'll read it. You can promise me, or I can promise you, that one word won't be altered. John 7 and 37. Romans 6. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. There's this thirsty thing that he talks about throughout the scripture. And then he goes on to say, he that believeth on me. Now watch this. Are you a believer here today? Just tell me yes or no. Okay. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly shall flow out of the mouth, which traditionally what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. But when God puts his spirit in you, he changes what comes out of you. Now watch. But this spake he of the spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, the Holy Ghost couldn't be given until Jesus had ascended in his glorified form. Why? Because then he would return in spirit form to fill us with him. That is the new birth. Now, you don't have that picture, do you, of, what was his name? Chris. You got that there? I know, there he is. I know most of y'all have heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it again for those that haven't. I know there's quite a few of you who haven't seen this. This man right here was in a Bible study. There are three of them. They were living, it was a complex where mostly people that were felons or had criminal records couldn't even get a housing, they lived. And so Chris lived there with some other guys. One of the guys would bring him to Bible study. And we had a woman pass away one night, and I was in the hospital till about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going to confess to you, after she passed, I was bothered.
And I said, God, did I say everything I should have said to her? Was she ready? I don't know. Could I have done more? Could I have said more? I can't let somebody slip off into eternity and not know that I've done everything I could do. And so it bothered me. And so I told the Lord there at 2 o'clock in the morning, I said, God, I will not let another one of these instances pass me by without making sure I've done everything. It was the very morning, so about 5-6 hours later, I was tired, didn't get to bed till late, 3 o'clock probably. And we had Bible study with these folks, and so I asked them if we can do it in my office because I said, I'm just tired. I said, and now my day's short because I was at the hospital. This lady passed away last night. And so when they're doing Bible study, and I'm going to recount the events to you. And we're talking about, I believe, the cross that day. And Chris is just over there just sobbing and crying. Now, Chris spent 11 years in prison because he used to traffic drugs across the country. I got a message I want to preach to you titled Rooting for the Rat. It'll come soon as the video goes along with it. So he's just weeping. And I said, Chris, you okay? He said, Pastor, I got to be honest with you. He said, I've been having dreams. He said, I've been having dreams that I'm going to die. And he said, I don't know if it's true or not, but man, it's every night it's got me shook. I said, you just got to be ready, Chris. You need to be ready. He said, I know. So we went back along with Bible study and we continued. And you'd had to have been there. His big, this was his picture that day in my office. And I look over and he's just sobbing. I said, Chris, you want to pray? He says, yeah. So I told Chris, I said, Chris, stand up. I said, just lift your hands. I said, if you have repented of your sins, I said, you ask the Lord into your heart. I said, God will fill you with his spirit right now, right here. Chris lifted his hands. And it was not moments. Chris just began to tremble and shake. And he's weeping and he's crying. And all of a sudden, he began to speak in tongues. He falls back into the chair, into the couch. And he's just laying there, and he's spoken in tongues for quite a while. And then he stopped, and he's laying there, and then he just starts smiling. I still remember the smile on his face. He didn't care about anybody else around him. That's why I'm closing my eyes, because I don't care about you right now. I love you. I'm just trying to get back in the moment for a second. And he's smiling, and he would start crying for a minute again. And he'd start smiling. Well, Chris had a condition. He always had a 2-liter bottle of water with him. And he would drink several of them in Bible study. He was always thirsty. So you got me, put my scripture back up real quick. Can you put them side by side or no? Okay. No, don't put it up yet. Just wait. When I tell you to, put it up. The John chapter 4. And so he's laying there, and the Lord spoke to me and put the scripture up. And he said, whatsoever shall drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You know why God said that to me? Because we were sitting there and I said, Chris, you want your water? And he just goes, no. And probably 15 minutes had passed. He hadn't drank an ounce. And he drank constantly. There are people in here that know him. Constantly he drank. And the Lord brought this scripture to my mind. The water that I give him, he shall never thirst again. The story's not over. I said, Chris, you want to get baptized? He said, yep. I said, when? He said, tomorrow night. Tomorrow night was Wednesday. Wednesday night, we baptized him. Chris just wept and cried and laughed, spoke in tongues again. Thursday morning, I got my phone call. Chris is on his way to the hospital. By Thursday night, Chris was in a coma. And in less than a week, Chris slipped off into eternity. God prepared him, and God was not going to let him go out without giving him the opportunity of drinking from that well of living water. Now, I know I was pretty bold and blunt and everything else today, and I've got some more scriptures I'd like to give you, but I'm not going to. I just don't feel like I should.
There was a time where the people of God were helpless and they were hopeless. Even though they had great men of God with them to lead them, as we all can tell, sometimes it's not easy trusting in men. Doesn't make it good, doesn't make it okay. It just means it's our Achilles heel sometimes. But God, through his prophets, prophesied of a time that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. All, not some, not a few, not a few of them that I like, not just preachers because they're extra special, not just Pentecostals too, but upon all flesh. There was coming a time where he said, I'm going to give you something to drink from a well that you will never thirst again. And that was the well that Chris drank from that day before he slipped off into eternity. And I want to tell you, I told somebody this morning, I actually was in the back room, I called them. They didn't come today. I said, I'm worried about you. I said, you're not making wise decisions. You're going the same direction as others have gone. Alcoholism wrecking your life. I said, you're making excuses on why you can't be in church. I said, I just care about you. I said, I hate to see you go in this direction. When Satan gets you to a place where you're not mindful of eternity at all, he has you right where he wants you. I don't know how all of you are. I think about eternity all the time. All the time. I want to be ready. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't just want to take for granted. I'm just going. You want to do that way? That's fine. You do it. I'm not going to, because my Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? When you take things for granted, you begin to neglect it. And when you neglect it, that's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily, lest I fear that I myself would become a castaway. Paul was worried he'd be lost. Paul, I don't know that any of us could stand next to Paul on judgment. I hope I don't have a house beside Paul in heaven if I get there. And I do believe I'll go there, but I'm just saying if. But Paul said, I fear that I myself will be a castaway. So every day, Paul repented of his deeds. Every day, Paul prayed against his flesh. Every day, Paul made a trip to Calvary. Every day, Paul said, Lord, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. Listen, you don't have to worry about your weaknesses, your failures. You don't have to worry about your faults, none of those things. But you do have to worry if you're not mindful of eternity that waits for all of us. You should be concerned. You should be concerned if you don't think about where you are in your walk with God. I didn't say be concerned of where you are. I said if you're not thinking about it at all. Because this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. The handmaidens, the men servants, that was all symbolic of the lower class. Anybody, not just the famous people, not just the people of notoriety or name, but everybody. Remember this, comforter, intercessor, consoler, advocate. There are things in your life you cannot do without it. You need the Holy Ghost to advocate for you, to give you rest. You need that to speak on your behalf. Don't think you've got to reach a place of perfection before God does these things for you. It's not true. Why don't you stand with me if you don't mind? Maybe we could make it somewhat easier for everybody this morning. What I'd like to do in just a few moments is to ask us all to gather around the front together.
You may have been born like John the Baptist with the Holy Ghost from you when you were in your mother's womb. Just kidding. Maybe it feels that way. Maybe you have yet to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'd love if we'd all together just come up and pray and say, God, fill me, renew me, refresh me, do whatever you've got to do in me. Because it's God's promise. It's not a promise to perfect people. It's a promise to broken people. So his people would not be helpless, would not be comfortless, would not be without an advocate. When I went to see Chris in the hospital as he lay on life support, all I could think about was, what if we didn't interrupt our schedule that day long enough to pray with this man? It's all I could think about. And it was not a coincidence that it happened right after we lost somebody else. And I promised the Lord, I said, God, I'll never miss that opportunity. If they get mad at me for telling them, then so be it. I've done my part. If they hate me and they leave this church and they go talk about me all over the county, so be it, as long as I know I've done my part. Believe me, it's not fun being unliked. But if I have to choose between being unliked by you or unfavored by God, I'll choose the latter every day, all day long. I believe in this. And I've had too many people over the years tell me, well, I've always been taught the Holy Ghost isn't for everybody. What a terrible thing to say to somebody. What a terrible thing. Now, I'm sure it was done in innocence. I'm sure people don't understand. But that's what happens when you put uncalled people in a pulpit. Can't do that. So, let's just pray. I'm going to stop talking. I want you to, if you would, just in just a second, stretch your hands to heaven together. And maybe it's not even for you. Maybe it's for somebody else today. And won't you thank God for the Spirit of God within you? Won't you thank God for the revelation and the understandings He has given you? Thank God for what He has poured out upon you. And if you have not been filled, then you lift your hands and you say, God, fill me full of your Spirit this morning. I want what you have. I need that comforter. I need that advocate, God. I need that intercessor for me and for my own life. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we come before you today, God. We need you in this building this morning. As the hour draws near, God, as your return becomes closer, Jesus, we know that we must look to heaven. Lord, we need that which is within us, God, to keep us, to protect us, to speak to us. Let it happen now. Let the Holy Ghost, I pray, move in this place this morning. Let the Holy Ghost, God, be renewed in us. Let the refreshing be upon us, I pray, right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's pray together. Pray for somebody else.
All of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise.
Hallelujah!
Can you hear it?
Jesus.
The sound of heaven touching earth.
Maybe you feel okay to grab somebody's hand beside you, hold it high, and pray together with them. Go ahead.
All of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Oh, the sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit breaker. Break our walls down,
Come on, can you feel your help coming into this place right now? Can you feel the comforter coming into this place right now? I feel it. Hallelujah.
Heaven, come down, oh, Jesus. King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom here. King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here.
Oh, we want.
We want to see your kingdom here. Spirit break out. Break our walls down.
Just play softly for a minute. Lord Jesus, God, we live in a troubling time. God, it seems some days on every side things are coming against us. God, it feels like sometimes I'm not going to make it the next day. Lord, sometimes I look around me, God, and I just see how godless this world has become, and it just rips my heart out. Lord, if we're to make it, we need your strength and we need your comfort, God. We need the peace that passes all understanding every day on a regular basis. We need your glory, God, to fill this place. We're helpless without you, Jesus. We're hopeless without you, Jesus. You made a way, and I want to take that way. I want to take advantage of it, God. Oh, somebody lift your hands to heaven one more time. Tell them how you feel. Tell them what you need.
Spirit,
hallelujah.
The Spirit break out. Oh, break our walls.
Break our walls down.
Yes, oh, Spirit. Spirit break out. Oh, heaven come down. Spirit,
Spirit, break down.
Oh,
Jesus, we praise the name. Lord, your spirit. Oh. Hallelujah, we worship the name. Hallelujah, we worship the name. Oh, yes, the name of Jesus. Oh, the name of his healing, in the name. God, we worship you this morning. Oh, we praise the name. Oh, we worship you, Lord. God, we worship your name. Oh, King Jesus, King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival. We want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom here.
Keep praying, but just remember, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Whenever you feel like you're overwhelmed, you feel like the odds are against you, you pray, Lord, let the comforter come and give me strength and minister to me. Come on, somebody. You are worthy to God. You matter so much, he died at Calvary for you. Yes.
Oh, we want to see your kingdom here. Spirit, break out. Oh, break our walls. Break our walls down. Yes. Oh, Spirit. Spirit, break out. Oh, heaven, heaven, come down. Oh, Spirit, Spirit, break out. Oh, break our walls, break our walls down. Yes, Spirit. Break out. Oh, break out. Heaven, come down. Oh, Spirit. Spirit, break out. Oh, yeah. Break our walls down. Yes, Spirit. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. And heaven, come down.
What a great, wonderful day we've had today. Day of Pentecost. 2,000 years ago, and they went out and spread the gospel all through the world, and this is what we have today. The only thing I know that's lacking is power in the churches. We don't have the power they had back then, and that's something we got to pray for. Is God give us power, give us boldness in the churches today. Let's pray. Father, I just say thank you for this wonderful day you give to us. Day of Pentecost, Lord.
when he went out and started spreading the good word of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, the one that took his life upon the cross for us and paid our debt for us, Lord God. What a blessing it is. What a joy it is, Lord, to be in a country where we can still serve you and praise you. Lord, I thank you for it. I ask you, Lord, to be with our missionaries that are in foreign country, that you'll guide and direct them also. I ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one. And Lord Jesus, I just pray you bless these people. And I ask you, Lord, as we go in our link programs tonight, I ask you, Lord, that you protect us. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you're going to do. And we will give you the praise. And everyone said, amen.